going like kind of deep, like what we
doing pretty deep. Oh,
better lube up. So there was no need for that.
There was absolutely no need, but I enjoyed it.
Right, okay, can you let me record? So,
oh yeah, okay,
all my YouTube followers can watch this.
Big deal on the YouTube, guys. I think I've, yep, here we go. Well, welcome to the Up Close and Personal Trainer podcast.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I've had a nice week. I did something quite fun and exciting on Wednesday. Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah.
So one of my hobbies is volunteering as a model for the local college photography students.
Sorry, wait. You initially started this as like, I'm a volunteer, like I give up my free time. You know, like I was expecting you to be like at a soup kitchen. No, no, I'm a model. I'm a volunteer model. Okay, Mother Teresa, continue.
So it is a hobby of mine. As a through and through extrovert, it really taps into something that's good for my soul. So basically it turned up,
it was 12 being students. Center of attention.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. Sits me down to the ground. And I'm not a model, but I get to live the model fantasy. And like I'm all about like the poses and like the smizing, pulling the ears back, making myself like right, feel
how do
amazing.
Smize?
So
is that you doing it?
Yeah, you did it too.
That doesn't look like you. That's not a smize. That's
what's
like
a smize
having sex with your eyes. Isn't a smize smiling with your eyes?
Right, do it then. Let me see.
What, a smize?
Yeah. No, you're cheating, right? So she's just covering her mouth, which is smiling.
Yeah, okay. Right, but what you were doing was like...
smoldering eyes.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Borderline creepy.
All right, Tyra. So did that. It was really fun. Got to wear some ridiculous outfits and it just made me feel awesome. I love it.
Oh, what kind of outfits?
Well, one of the girls brought this. She was like, I'm really into South Korean street fashion. Right.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah. Right, cool. So she had this little tiny silk dress that she held up. And they've got these tents that they're like changing tents. So you climb inside the tent and then you can get changed. And I mean, it doesn't have a mirror. So I was just putting on this tiny silk dress. It went, it just covered my bum. But then when I bent down to put my shoes on, it went up to my waist. Yeah. But then she gave me a black PVC shirt to wear on top and a gold hat, a gold foil hat with like.
Sorry, are these fashion students?
No, they're photography students.
Right.
I'm like, let's leave that to the fashion students. But yeah, it was a gold hat and then purple little circular sunglasses. And I was walking through West of Scotland College, which is in Paisley, and everyone was like, what the hell is she waving? But again, I don't care. I literally don't care.
It's not that you don't care. It's that you fucking love it.
Yeah, it was so fun. It's so fun.
When will we get to see these photos?
There's already one being uploaded. Not on mine. One of the students has uploaded. So it was 12 students. So I've had literally 12 different photo shoots in the space of an afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty, Emma, it's pretty good. You should, what's the college in Dundee?
Dundee
There's
College.
There's loads, isn't there? Dundee College. Right. Get in touch with the photography students, put yourself up as a model, and look, you've got all that Insta content.
Oh my God, true. So yep. Much content. Yeah.
So much content. So yeah, I did that. And then another bonus is that Donald Trump has COVID.
I know.
But do you think, because a couple of people have said this to me, do you think that this is, it's not true, that he's just pretending that he's got it? So that then he can be like, Yeah, so then he could say, oh, I'm asymptomatic. What's everyone going on about? What's the big problem?
Oh, I don't know. Nor do I care. Like, he's such a... tart. Like, what was it he spent on his hair?
Hmm?
Didn't he end up... like, he put his hair through as, like, a taxable expense, and it was something like $70,000. And I'm like, if you were going to get your hair done for $70,000 and it looked like that,
you'd want a refund.
You'd want a refund for sure.
You want a refund? Wow. Unless he's like paying a hairdresser to just be there all the time.
Yeah, but really, I was that, paying like, a hairdresser and it looked like that. No, mate.
Mm. No, mate.
No. No. Anyway.
Anyway. Have you got anything exciting to share with us?
No. I've actually not had a very exciting week. I've been quite unwell.
No. Oh, sweetheart. Let's all send Emma positive healing vibes right now through the podcast, doing it.
Oh, I can feel it entering my healing chakra. Is that a thing? I don't know.
Not really, but it's fine. It's fine. It's you fine. Can have we'll a healing just, chakra if you want.
We'll just go with it. So yeah. The one thing I did want to touch on this week, in fact, there's a couple of topics we wanted to touch on. But the first thing, and from doing check-ins, and I've got some more to do this weekend, but from catching up with committed people, I think a lot of people are in a little bit of a lull.
Mm.
Because I think it's various things. Like, it's generally the time of year. It's coronavirus. Mm. You know, things are getting serious now. People are losing their jobs. Like, there's loads of stuff going on. And I think resetting some goals right now is a great time to do that. Not only because of the things I've just mentioned, but also because we have about 3 months left of the year. And that's a really nice chunk of time to set goals, I think. Like, 3 months is long enough that you can actually make really big change and see a huge difference. But not too long that you're like, oh, 3 months away is like unthinkable. Like, I don't even know what would be going on in that. By the way, is there a really weird crackling sound?
No.
Hmm. Okay, hopefully it's
in
not.
Your mind.
I'll just continue. Yeah, so it's like it's a good period of time to one, make changes, but to not be overwhelmed by the distance to those changes sort of thing. So do you have any yourself, any like goals for the end of the year or how you want to start 2021?
I think you're so right, because we are getting to that time of year where it's getting a bit darker, it's getting colder. We've literally just had it constantly with 2020, and there's all these things going around like if 2020 was a person and all this, and it's really easy to just succumb to that, isn't it?
Yeah. And actually, there's loads of positives you can take from 2020. In fact, I was talking to Nicola, who's obviously just come on as a coach, and she's picking up some one-to-one clients. And she, like, with no context to this at all, was just like, what a year it's been. Like, this is amazing. Like, she's, you know, doing Commit Six. She's competing this weekend or next weekend. She's achieved so much. And, like, obviously, a load of crap has happened. But if you focus on that, then it looks like it's all that's happened. When actually, there's been huge benefits that have come from, well, maybe not come from coronavirus, but, like, there's been huge positives to have come from this year. And a lot of people, like you're saying, there's memes going around like, can't wait for 2020 to be over. You've still got 3 months. Like,
In reality, there's probably not going to be like an overnight sudden change to life in 2021.
What are you talking about? We'll be fine then. What we do is we just hibernate until 2021 and then everything's going to be fine. But yeah, you're totally right. Like, we probably still won't have a vaccine. There will still be restrictions in place. Like, but we can't impact any of that. But what we can impact is things. Well, and it doesn't even have to be like a physique goal or a body composition goal or even a performance goal. Like, it could be, I want to have better balance in my life. I want to have finished this book. I want to have implemented this. I want to have started this course.
Mm-hmm.
There's loads of things that it could be. Yeah. So
Yeah, and setting yourself up for a really good 2021. So when that the clock strikes and we're released back into normal life, setting yourself up for a really good 2021. And I think that having goals in mind is a great way to do it. Yeah. And it'll just give you some focus and some purpose for the last 3 months of the year. Three months is such a long time, as you say.
I had a conversation with Emily about this, actually, who's just about to come to you for one-to-one coaching. It's very exciting. She was sort of saying, and I get this because I've been in this position before, I don't really have a goal. So what do I do? And like on the surface, it can be quite like, yeah, I don't have a goal. Like I don't have a specific performance goal that interests me. And you can't push your goals on someone else. So you can't just like choose someone else's goal and think, okay, well, I'll try and do 100 push-ups in a row. But if it doesn't excite you and there's no meaning to it for you, then it's not going to work. So one way to look at it is like, what is the kind of person you want to be? Like, who do you want to be starting 2021? And what sort of identity do you have there? Like what's going on in your family life, in your work life, in your social life, in your gym life, in your nutrition? And then work back from there to, okay, if that's who I want to be, if that's my end goal, what things do I need to do to get there? And then work back to like weekly goals and daily goals, like daily habits. If you start today, and it could be something tiny, doing like, even if it's just, as of today, I'm going to make sure I read 5 pages of a book every single day with no excuse. Like that can have a huge impact on your life, which sounds like a little bit mad, but, and it could be anything. It could be, I'm going to make sure I get 10,000 steps every single day. But the point is the consistency. Like you do that every day for 90 odd days, you'll see a massive impact. Like if you're like, okay, actually, maybe I do want to get better at push-ups. You do them every single day, 90 days. You're going to see a huge improvement. And it's a small thing to add in, but can have big rewards.
Absolutely. Do you have anything like that? Anything that you want to add in? What's your goals for the next 3 months?
Well. Oh, I have many, many goals. Most of them are just about sort of getting back to fitness. And I think a lot of that is like breaking that down as well. And sometimes it's like, so from where I am, without giving too much unnecessary personal information, but there's something wrong with my heart, which they can't figure out. Now, a lot of that's like out of my control because I don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. I'm going through tests and stuff. But there is still, and so you could easily say, well, there's nothing I can do. I just have to wait. It's just a waiting game. And to some extent it is. But when things are a waiting game, this is the same with like coronavirus. Like it is a bit of a waiting game. We don't have control over it. We just have to sort of see what happens and go with the flow, follow instructions. But that doesn't mean that that waiting time is useless and that you're not going to spend it on anything. So for example, for me, like I know there's other things to do that will give me the best chance of being healthy, right? So making sure that I still look after myself, I'm getting in enough sleep, that I've started this week, I've turned my laptop off from 8 o'clock. And my phone, so I don't do any like anything from 8 o'clock, and that's made a big difference. And the point of that actually is, initially I didn't think it had made a difference, because for the first maybe, I don't know, like 3 or 4 days, didn't notice any difference. And at that point I'm normally like, oh well, I just may as well start again, because what's the point, I'm not sleeping better anyway. But actually you have to give these things time. So it's no good saying, yeah, do you know what, I need to switch off earlier, and I need to make sure that I'm getting in enough sleep and that I'm relaxing before bed. And then you try it for 2 nights, putting your phone outside the room, and you're like, didn't make any difference. It takes time. Like you have to get into a routine of it, and it's not going to be a quick fix, especially with things like sleep problems, which are huge. And it's very rare that like we're going to be able to just turn around and be like, oh yeah, just do this evening routine once and then you'll be fine. Like, no, you have to commit to it and do it for a while. And you know what? It might not work, but you don't know until you've tried it for a couple of weeks. So there's loads of things that you can be doing, even if you can't control like the end goal, whatever my heart health might be. So yeah, the little things like that, that I've sort of broken down into doing like daily things that I know will benefit me. And I know that future Emma will thank me for.
Oh, I love that. Love it. Proud of you.
Thanks, Han. So what we actually wanted to discuss on this podcast is the massive topic of basically when you've met your fat loss goal and then you want to move on to another goal. And what we're sort of going to brush over a little bit, because I've spoken about this numerous times on, I think on last week's podcast as well. In fact, maybe even this week's podcast, is just like how you do that. So for example, like bringing your calories up to maintenance, focusing on performance goals, blah, blah, blah. What we really want to talk about today is the mindset shift, because that is by far the hardest part. And there isn't just just increase your calories. Like the actions are quite simple. Increase your calories, get some performance goals, work hard in the gym. To be honest, not that much changes from dieting to maintenance. But your shift in mindset has to change. And that's what's going to make it much easier for you to maintain your results without sort of yo-yo dieting all the time, where you're just on or off the diet.
I think we wanted to talk about this because I've got a one-to-one client who is very lean already when she came to me. And her goal is to have visible abs. And with most people that would come to coaching, then maybe they've been training for a long time, you would put them on a fat loss plan and eventually their abs would be revealed. But if someone's already really lean and also new to training with weights, then what you need to do is build those ab muscles first. And that's really difficult if someone wants maybe results in 6 weeks, because building muscle takes fucking ages, especially if you're female, and it's just a really long, arduous task. And it's that imperfect actions, working on it, being consistent, not taking time off that goal, if you know what I mean, like not going through phases of fat loss and muscle gain, fat loss. It is like a long, slow trek upwards. And our job as a coach in just constantly reminding people that it's a long trek, or getting there. We're going to see like little tiny, tiny, tiny little markers of progress, but the progress won't be anything in comparison to like 6 weeks fat loss, where you'd see such a huge difference in 6 weeks. But would you see it so much in 6 weeks muscle gain? Possibly not.
Oh, yeah. That?
And that's why we wanted to talk about it, wasn't it?
I did a post about this week. I'll read it out actually. So I put up the estimated rates of building muscle in women of like different lifting experiences, and basically it just shows that if you were very, very new to exercise and you were doing, so this is assuming you were doing everything right. So you're getting your resistance training in, progressive overload, getting in enough protein, you're getting in enough calories, you're sleeping enough, you're resting enough. So you're doing everything
right. What are the chances of getting that all right consistently?
And consistently, yeah. So this is like a sort of imaginary situation. Then you'd be lucky to build 1 pound of muscle a month, right? So, and as you become more and more experienced, like someone like Shona, who's been lifting for years at quite a high level, you're going to be lucky to build 0.25 pounds of muscle a month. So if we were trying to measure that on the scales, impossible. Like that is literally the swig of tea she just drank. There's your muscle gains for the month. Or she's about to spit out. We've got it swallowed. Okay, good. Well done. Okay, so basically my point was that like these fluctuations can be masked on the scales very easily. And I was saying that no matter how slow you lose fat, it's probably still going to be faster than the rate at which you can build muscle. And someone replied to the thing being like, it's so stupid to compare losing fat to building muscle. They're completely different things. Thanks, Jenny. But she was quite like, she's like, this is such a stupid comparison, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, sorry. But I know, well, one, why? And two, like from working with thousands of women, I know this is the exact comparison that people make. Like they're like, okay, well, like, what should, because everyone's just obsessed with the scale still. That's our marker of progress, isn't it? So it's as soon as I'm building muscle, right? So how do I know how much muscle I've built? You don't. That's the hard thing. So instead of focusing on the scales. And like I said, weight, you can't use weight as a marker of progress for building muscle, especially not in the short term. But what you can potentially use is strength. So improvements in strength, progress photos, how you feel. And then those are sort of your three. They're quite, well, strength isn't subjective, but it's still quite variable. There'll be some days where you can lift more, some days where you can't lift as much. And those fluctuations are going to happen anyway. Progress photos are pretty subjective, especially as you will put on a little bit of body fat as well. And I kind of love it because it's like, it's a good and empowering feeling. But you know, when you see bikini girls and they're like, oh, look at my 6-week glute progress. And I'm like, you've literally just put on fat. Like, of course you have, which is fine. Like, it's absolutely fine. But there's no way you've put on a significant amount of muscle in 6 weeks. Like, you haven't. End of story. But
yeah,
whatever. So they're a bit subjective as well. So what you need to focus on is kind of the things that we just spoke about at the start, which is making sure your resistance training at least 3 times a week, making sure you're practicing progressive overload, getting enough protein, getting enough calories, getting enough sleep, rest. And then what I find that the period of time when you're sort of transitioning from maybe losing body fat to building muscle is probably the most important time to have a coach. And I think a lot of people think, oh, well, ticked off fat loss, don't need a coach anymore. I'm just looking to maintain. Maintenance, and especially building muscle, is so much harder than losing weight. And actually, if you think about it, anyone who's listening to this will know that as well. Like, there are very few people who have come to me who have never, ever dieted before and never lost weight before. That's not normally the problem. The problem is maintaining that weight loss. Mm-hmm. And that's why we try and get people to stay on a little bit longer. If they're doing commit to six, if they've reached their goals, like, okay, well, at least stay on for another block so that you can maintain those results. And that's what we're really impressed about. Is not just losing weight. Like, it's always cool to see, oh, I'd managed to lose this much in 6 weeks. Like, kind of great, but also a little bit irrelevant. Like, it's where you're going to be in the next 6 months, in the next year. That's what's more important.
Mm-hmm. And but, that shows the real success of coaching as well, because then you've implemented habits that these people are going to stick to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, that's the exact point, isn't it? It's that you have to some extent, change your identity, change the habits that you have. So that, like, I think there's two sides of this, because people get a bit confused as they're like, right, if I want to maintain this physique, that means I have to do exactly what I'm doing now to maintain that. And they might be on dieting calories, and they might be pushing to get in 5 workouts a week and trying to get in 15,000 steps a day and really struggling because they're not socializing on the weekend because they're quite strict with their calories. You don't, like, that might be how you want to lose body fat for a short period of time, but that's not necessarily how you need to maintain it. However, some of those behaviors still need to stay the same. So things like listening to your hunger cues, not eating in excess, still staying active, still getting exercise in, like, those behaviors have to stay, but the extent of them might not be the same. So you don't have to track calories for the rest of your life. I think that's something that people sort of think, oh, well, if this is what got me results, this is what I have to keep doing forever. And that can be quite demotivating, because I'm not tracking calories for the rest of my life. Like, no.
But I'm not tracking calories either, but we're both following fundamental habits that keep us on track.
Yeah.
And felt like, I've also been in a stage where I was tracking for such a long time, and then I finally stopped tracking, but I didn't follow any of the habits that I'd built, because I don't think I'd actually, because I'd had a coach that hadn't helped me create those habits. It'd just been like diet. And then when I went and did my own thing, I just ate what I wanted. And that's, suppose, how you get into that restrict binge cycle. And that's not what we want with ESG fitness coaching. We're helping people.
Did you hear that, everyone?
We're helping people build really healthy habits when it comes to dieting, because it's just one phase of your life, isn't it? It's just a phase. It's not, this isn't your life for forever.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if you've watched this yet. And I spoke about it a little bit on the live this morning with Amelia, but there's 2 points I want to talk about. One, the inverted U, which I will get onto. But Firstly, kind of what you were saying there about
I just said you back to front, but you didn't hear it, so it's fine.
Sorry, I was going to say, what you were talking about there, which was like dieting is not your life, and how actually once you master this part, and actually it might have been something that you've struggled with for a long time, and for maybe like, let's say for 6 weeks, you focus on really nailing that. The whole point is that once those sort of actions become habits and you don't need to think about them as much and you understand the process and the principles, and you've got that self-confidence in yourself that you can get results, you've proven to yourself you can get results, you don't need to put as much time and energy into it, especially like emotional energy. Like we all have a finite amount of energy. And at some points that might mean, okay, say you do have to put in a lot of energy to lose body fat. But once you sort of master these things, like it's a skill, it's a bit of education like anything else, then you can move on from that. It's like maybe when you first started driving, like your whole, not that you shouldn't be paying attention when you drive, right? Maybe this is a bad example, but your whole attention is like, oh my God, mirror, signal, maneuver. Like you're so focused on that. You couldn't even really have a conversation with anyone because you're like, no, I need to think about what gear I need to be in. But now it's like subconscious. Like, yes, of course you still need to watch for what's going on the roads, but it's like, you don't need to think, oh, what gear should I be in? It just happens. Like you just do things. And that's what dieting should be like as well. Like it shouldn't have to always take up all of your emotion and all of your attention and energy. And once you've nailed that, then you can like redistribute your energy again. You can be like, okay, look at the amazing things I've achieved with my physique. Now I can put that time, energy and effort into another area of my life and achieve amazing things there. And that's why we often see a lot of people who get great results on fat loss or body composition or performance goals then end up like changing career or starting something completely new or like having the confidence to go for a promotion, because it's that transferable confidence that I've achieved this. And often if it's been something you've been struggling with potentially your whole life, knowing that actually that doesn't have a hold over you, it kind of makes you feel a little bit invincible. Like, oh, well, if I can do this, I can basically do anything. And it's the same sort of principles hold true. Like, yeah, if you can stick to these things and you can work towards a goal, like that's translatable throughout your whole life.
Yeah. It's like, I like to think it's not completely self-discipline, but it's like half self-discipline. And it's not completely like self-indulgent self-care. It's half of that. It's like both of those coming together. And then it just sort of bleeds through into every area of your life.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Isn't it?
Isn't it?
So with the inverted U thing that I was thinking about this morning, by that I mean, you know the graph, which is an inverted U.
Oh, right. I was like, not as in like you.
No, not you inverted. Oh, that would be quite cool.
I was just
thinking of this like, because essentially it applies to sort of anything within your life. Like there will be a sharp increase in the rewards you get from doing so. So let's just say it's exercise. From your first couple of sessions, you will get a massive benefit. If you go from doing no exercise to doing 3 sessions a week, you will see a huge benefit. Now, if you go from doing 5 sessions to 6 sessions, the benefit's quite small, right? So imagine that's the top of the U. Then if you go from doing 6 sessions to 7, you actually might start coming down the other side because you're not recovering well enough. And this is the same with like getting lean. So the first bit of body fat you lose might have huge health benefits and huge benefits to your life in general, like your confidence, how you feel in clothes, how you like your energy levels, all of these things. And then you'll reach a point, which is the top of the U, where that's probably about optimal for you. And this optimal body composition is going to change depending on where you are in your life, what social events you have on, what your performance goals are, like what stresses you have. Like that's not a fixed point. There isn't a, I can't say your optimal body composition is X. There will be a range which you will sit in between. But the point is, after that point, like being too lean is not healthy. So you will start coming down the other way. You'll lose energy, you'll lose focus. You might lose your hair. I don't know, like if you got really extreme. And this is true for, like, even if you think about, like, fruit and veg or something, great. Like, I mean, it's hugely beneficial, but you can still eat too much of it. Like, there is too much of anything, and too much of a good thing is no longer a good thing. So I think that often sort of occurs when, or just before you start to make this transition again to, like, going from fat loss to maintenance. And we often get questions of, how do I know when I should go to maintenance? And we can't say, oh, this is your goal weight now. Now you can move to maintenance. You've ticked off your goal weight. It has to be done on how you feel, what you've got going on in your life, your performance. And largely, like, for me, it's how I look, feel, and perform. But when I say perform, I don't just mean how many push-ups I can do. Like, I mean what my focus is like, where my energy is focused, even, and I guess more broadly, like, my relationships with other people, my social life, all these factors come into play as well. And your body composition goals, or, like, optimal body composition for you might be totally different than someone else. Like, you might be like, I like sitting a bit higher body fat, still in a healthy range, but I want to eat pizza twice a week. And someone else might be like, that doesn't interest me, and I feel better when I'm a little bit leaner. Again, there is a huge range, and I think people have in their head, there is a set point of, this is optimal for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It is completely objective, and it's a person-by-person basis. And I was actually having a conversation with a friend this morning, because I think a lot of it, you can diet down, but if you're not satisfied with you how you are at any given moment, then you're never really going to be satisfied. And she said to me this morning, it made me quite sad, like, she was, like, a bit leaner last year, and she said, I was the happiest I've ever been. And I was like, was it really because you were lean, or was it because you were confident?
We weren't in a global pandemic.
You'd literally just met the man of your dreams. And, like, she's equating all of that with her being really lean, and she's not quite as lean, still looks great if she's listening. But I'd say, like, no, I think you actually need to not try and chase this being lean again. What you need to try and chase is being satisfied, loving yourself, looking after yourself, doing all the things that will make you feel good, like the things that we've just talked about, all those behavior-based goals. And then maybe eventually you'll get to back to where you were before. But I think there needs to be, like, an internal change first, as well as chasing that.
Yeah. Oh no, you will never find happiness chasing being lean. At, like, 100%. No. And I think some people, like, it's quite easy to equate being lean to being happy. Because when I look at some pictures of me when I was really lean, I'm like, God, I was really happy there. Yeah, because you were at uni and just messing around all the time. Like, yeah, it was a great time of your life. It has nothing to do with your body fat percentage.
No.
And I think remembering that, and it is, but when you say it like that, you're like, that is ridiculous. Like, why would anyone think that?
Mm-hmm.
But actually, you wouldn't think of it with other things. You wouldn't be like, oh, there's a picture of me in my blue jumper. I was so happy in that blue jumper. That's probably why I was so happy. Like, it's actually ridiculous.
Yeah. Another thing that I actually mentioned to Emma before we started recording, but she just laughed at me.
No, it was a really good point. It was a really good point. Go ahead.
But I'm coming from a slightly different coaching perspective, because I'm a CrossFit coach, and a lot of the things that I'm focusing on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you calling yourself a CrossFit coach again?
A functional fitness coach.
Okay, right. I see.
I'm a CrossFit in a Unit 4 health and fitness facility. Anyway, okay, I'm a CrossFit coach. And rather than focusing on, like, nutrition, most of my clients are focusing on, like, gymnastics or getting stronger or getting their technique better on a certain lift. And one of my friends had this notion for such a long time, and I think a lot of people in CrossFit do have this notion that as soon as they reach a certain weight, everything's gonna, like, come into place, like gymnastics particularly, like all these body weight movements, like pull-ups and muscle-ups and handstand push-ups and things like that, it's all going to fall in place the moment that you hit this certain weight. And quite a lot of people get to that certain weight and then they're like, oh wait, no, I still can't do it.
Yeah, do you know what's funny as well, that even when that's quite specific and almost like you'd think makes more sense, like the example I'm thinking of here is previously when I weighed what I do now, I could do about 10 pull-ups. I can now do 3. But in my head, like, and obviously I know that that's because I've lost a lot of body muscle. I've lost a lot of body muscle.
Arm muscle.
But like, I've obviously lost a lot of strength from not training.
Yeah.
But it's easy to think that like your weight is your body composition or your strength or your performance, and it's not. Even if it's quite specific to you, like obviously this weight is still specific to me and my frame. Mm-hmm. But even then, like it doesn't correlate to performance. Even in would think, I mean, like weight, your weight obviously does play quite a big role in your pull-up performance and in your strength to body weight ratio. But no. Unfortunately not.
But yeah, there's no gatekeeping towards certain movements. Like just because you're a certain weight doesn't mean that you can't work really hard and get a set of 10 pull-ups. Because I weigh probably about 15 kilos more than you, Emma, and I can do more pull-ups than you. And it's strap on 15 kilos, let's say how many pull-ups you can do.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
So yeah, it's nothing to do with body weight. Like you just have to work a little bit harder. If I was 15 kilos lighter than I am now, wow, I could just set 100. Yeah. I don't know. How many could you do?
Yeah, exactly. and I actually kind of love seeing I've seen yoga teachers actually who are quite overweight do like some crazy ass like hold. And I'm like, I can't even hold my body like that.
It's really inspiring as well. But I think there was the CrossFit Games happened really recently online. It was shit. It was really boring to watch. And there was this this Instagram page that have all these like statistics about the athletes. And there was like a qualifying round and they had the average age and the average weight of all the athletes. And then they had the people that actually qualified for the games, the average weight and the average age. And I was like, I find that really demotivating because they pointed out that the average age went down and everyone got lighter as well. And I was like, oh, I find that really, because I'm old and heavy. I really was not happy reading that.
It's a bit irrelevant though, isn't it?
It's irrelevant, but also the nature of CrossFit is that it is depends on what is programmed that year. So it could have been that this year it was a lot of body weight movements, a lot of gymnastics, or a lot of things that required you to be small. Like there's movements that serve taller people, longer arms and longer legs, and there's movements that serve smaller people. And I think that that's another thing that was kind of overlooked with that. So
yeah, for sure.
Sure. Sometimes I'd love to be like have slightly I've got quite long legs, but in terms of like most sports, it's not great to have long legs.
That is not true. Rowing, okay, running, athletics, long jump, high jump, no.
All the things that I don't do. Okay, I'll take it back.
The only sport in which it's beneficial to have short legs is like powerlifting.
Weightlifting, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Glad we've agreed. I always wanted to be taller.
What, how are you, 5'5"?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just find tall people really striking. Yeah, you're right. I wish I was taller as well.
Not just because they're striking, just because it's so much better at sport.
Well, you could play basketball, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I once had this client and she was really short and she had really short legs and she said, oh, I hate my short legs. Took her to the squat rack. Holy shit, her squat was so perfect. She was so upright. She could squat so heavy. I was like, girl, never say that again. You are built for performance.
Well, built for squatting.
Built dollar squats, which isn't so glamorous, is it?
Unfortunately not, no.
Yeah, but maybe the point what I'm making is that you, with CrossFit, it's hard to focus on, it's easy to focus on the things that you're not so great at, because there's such a vast array of different skills within CrossFit. Sorry, I'm talking too much about CrossFit, and I don't think there's that many people listening that do it, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, focus, but it's general, it's functional fitness, isn't it? And it's not just CrossFit, it's like anything. Like, yeah, you might be someone with really long arms, so that actually pull-ups are really hard for you, but you have a longer lever with which to throw a javelin. So there is literally a positive to anything. And actually, the more I think about it, like, I was always really good at the gym side of training, but I wasn't actually very good at any of the sports. And that kind of relates to my short limbs. Like, people who were nowhere near where I was in the gym would perform way better because they've got longer limbs, like more time to apply force to something. And that's like really beneficial in sport. But a lot of the time, you're right, like, it's not hugely beneficial in the gym.
But then you also had an amazing work ethic, because obviously you worked hard in the gym, and you've told me about all the medals that you won growing up. So it obviously didn't get in the way. You told me about your trophy room.
Okay, this is definitely a lie. Oh, good times, good times.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay, well, you just, it's all about making it.
Do we have anything else we need to discuss?
See, your necklace, is it hieroglyphics?
No.
What is it? What's on the little square?
It's the sun rising.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, I always thought it was like Egyptian, like a little set of hieroglyphics or something. No.
No, that would be quite cool. Yeah.
That'd be quite cool.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to tell them?
No, that was
about how your shed got burnt down. Oh no, it wasn't your shed, was it?
No, it wasn't. Thankfully, it wasn't my shed. Yeah, I'll tell everyone the story. So midnight, set the scene, midnight. I live in a little street. There was 3 fire engines outside my house. How terrifying would that be, by the way? Like, they're so big. It was really scary. And then the firefighters started walking up the steps towards my house. And we and Paul were like, oh, what the fuck? And then I heard my neighbour screaming. So I thought, like, there's 4 houses attached to each other. And I thought, well, if someone's house is on fire, chances are mine aren't, which is a really selfish thought. But, you know, you don't want your house to go on fire. So we ran outside the back door and my neighbour's still screaming. And it turns out that her husband had a bonfire, and his bonfire, he just left the bonfire. Like, everyone knows that you don't do that. You have a bonfire.
I love that he left it, and not just left it, but like left it and went to sleep.
Went to sleep, yep. It caught, his shed was right next to the bonfire. It caught fire. Thankfully, his shed is at the bottom of the garden. My fence got a little singed. Not that bothered about it though. And the upshot of it was like, okay, it's fine. Everything's fine. But at the same time, my internet stopped working and I thought it was just the coincidence. But then I discovered that the internet travels into my house via a wire that passed over the site of the fire.
My favourite part of the story, not to ruin it, is that his internet is fine.
Yeah. His internet was fine because his internet enters his house via underground.
So maybe you need to start thinking about fiber optic, blah, 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 whatever it is.
Yeah, well, do you know, we didn't have internet for a couple of days. Not great when you have Zoom meetings. So I just went next door and asked for his Wi-Fi password. Everything's running really fast now.
See, sometimes I think if you live, like, I live in a flat, and I'm like, surely like 3 or 4 flats could probably share the Wi-Fi.
That's what I said as well. So why can't we? Would it just slow it all down?
Like down? Yeah, like if there's everyone was on at the same time.
And it would save so much money. Like if every 2 houses shared the same internet box.
Oh my God. So this actually reminds me of, this was when like broadband was quite new. And my dad set something up. It was like a disc on the roof or something that would like send the internet along the road to one of our friends' houses. So we shared the same broadband. Now, and this was like, and they had their own router and everything, but it was like shared by the same thing. But bearing in mind, this was like, this must have saved them like 20 quid, but it was such a faff to like connect everything. I think you can do it. Like you can like send
the internet. Now we must say, you've just finished talking at length and sounding really knowledgeable, and then we've just ended this.
Send the internet. Yeah, well, there's some things we know.
The internet and travels through a wire.
Then there's everything else which we don't know.
But yeah, that was probably the most drama that I've had in my life for a while, which is good. You don't need drama in your life, do you?
No.
I remember you said that you love that drama.
Yeah, I remember saying that and then kind of regretting it because it gets brought up quite a lot.
By me.
Yeah. Remember that time you said you love drama? I was like, not that much drama. Jeez. Just a little spice. Not yeah. a full and on.
It's always better when it's not your drama. It's like someone else and you're like, ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, love you, bye. Anyway.
Bye.
Oh, wait, what am I doing? How do I stop? What the hell?
It just flashed up with a picture of your abs.